Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, good evening, everyone. I want to welcome you to a new edition of the Real Talk with Chris Richardson Show. I'm excited and thankful that you all are joining in with us tonight. If this is your first time, we want to welcome you all to the show. You are in for a treat, so sit back, relax, and enjoy the journey with us tonight. Tonight, we've got a topic that we want to talk about. Can you give too much too soon? So, obviously, you know we're talking about relationships, but the question is, and again, for the hour of power that we'll talk about and discuss it, can you give too much too soon? Many of you all know I created this format probably about 3 years ago, and so the whole focus was about when you are better, we are better. So that means what does being better mean? Well, that means better husbands, wives, fathers, brothers, aunts, uncles, sisters, you name it. It ends with you and it begins with you and ends with you, but if you don't change, neither will your circumstances. So at the end of the day, we want to focus on a holistic process to helping you be all that you can be, and it starts with the right foundation. We believe the foundation of Jesus Christ and the foundation of love is built here and shared with them on the show. We make no qualms about it, and we make no apologies necessary for it as well. We are grateful, and I'm joined by my co-hosts, Edward and – we call them Deborah. That's Edward and Debbie Smith of Meet the Smiths, fantastic duo. So, hey, family, say hello and join us.
Hey, everybody.
Hey, guys, how you doing, man? It's a delight to be on tonight. So let's come together, reason, and see how we can unpack some stuff.
Well, I would love for the listening audience who's out there listening, whether you're listening online, if you want to dial into the show, the number tonight is 619-924-0869. Again, that's 619-924-0869. Feel free if you want to call, voice an opinion or a thought or share a comment, what have you. We just have one housekeeping rule, and that's real simple. It's combined in this form of fashion. We can agree to what? Disagree. We can challenge the message, but we make it very important that we never attack the messenger. So that's all we say. Those are the housekeeping things. And when you call in tonight, if you are going to dial in, just press 1 on your keypad, the number 1, and I will see you on the board, and we'll take your comment or your question and share that with the rest of the listening audience. So tonight, again, the subject is, can you give too much too soon? Deb, Ed, you guys have been married before. In a relationship, you've been married for a while, I should say, in a 9-year relationship and marriage. But I'm going to take you back a little bit when you think about this topic. For those who are thinking about marriage or those who are in relationships and kind of, you know, dealing with some of the different complexities that relationships have, how soon is too soon with some of the things? So let's be specific on that. How soon is too soon, maybe from Edward, I'll start with you from a man's perspective. How soon is too soon to go to the next level? The next level emotionally, intellectually, physically, in a relationship. And, I mean, we know this is a Christian show, so we're going to say the Christian thing, per se, that we should hold with abstain or from sex. But, Ed, talk to me, bro. We weren't always saved and sanctified. So somebody listening tonight, they may be in that same boat. So talk to us about that journey, what your challenges or struggles were in the very beginning when you and Debbie, per se, were in that courtship or dating phase. How soon was too soon for you, and what was it that was too soon?
Well, okay, good question, because I was just about to ask, you know, are we talking about something specific? It's too soon. Well, here's what it is. For Deb and I, it was a little bit different because we have known each other for quite a while. I've known my wife since she was a child. She was about 11, 12 years of age. We grew up in the same church, so I have known her and her family for quite some time. So once we became adult and our paths crossed again, because we went our separate ways, once our paths crossed again, the process to date her was much easier for me. You know, because it is somebody that I have known for quite a while. So, you know, the things that we need to put together in the dating process, I eliminated a lot of stuff simply because, like I said, I've known her for quite some time. and I've known her character. I've known who she is. I've known her family. But as we date, you know, being the fact that, you know, we both came out of a divorce and now dating, you know, I was a bit timid, and so was she about, oh my goodness, here it is that here we are in love with each other and want to take it to the next level where we want to get married and stuff. And so, you know, I struggled with, you know, is it too soon? What too soon looks like and stuff. And but, you know, I have allowed myself to just fall in love with her, you know, talk to God about, you know, making sure that this time it will be the last time and you know, honestly speaking, you know, it's a matter of just subjecting your desire to God and make sure that your desire is in alignment with God's desire, and you just do it. Yeah, sometimes we do things that are too soon, and all the red flags are there, but we decide to ignore the red flags and move with emotions, and later on it manifests itself into the relationship. So we want to make sure that we are very transparent with ourselves and just do what our heart is telling us to do, you know, and don't ignore the red flags, because they're there for a reason, and you want to make sure that both of you have that understanding before you take it to the next level, wherever that level might be.
Well, Deb, you know, from your angle, Ed, and you're right, Ed, that was a broad topic. So let me just dial in a little bit and bring this thing down to the size of a dime. Debbie, think back now. You guys have known each other since you were 5 years old. See, we're laughing, dude. So the listening audience, let me just kind of bring y'all in on this. So what Ed alluded to, he didn't say specifically, they have known each other for a while, and there is an age difference. So, you know, that's another show on that. But so Ed would be the cougar, if you will, if there's such a thing, for the man or the sugar daddy, whatever. I don't know. I'm just saying. So that's why we kind of laugh and chuckle. So we just kind of let the listening audience in a little bit on, you know, what's going on. They've known each other for a while through family ties. But nonetheless, anyway, I digress on that. Having said that, though, hey, Deb, so tell us a little bit, you know, in the very beginning, being that you, that Ed said, you know, being divorced, you know, and for you coming into a new relationship, I think we all want to feel love at some point. I think no doubt we all want to be loved. But when you're jumping from one frying pan to another hot frying pan, if you will, how much is too much too soon for you?
I think for me, the relationship moved so fast between Ed and I, and then the kids got involved, but they weren't really involved. Like, they knew that something was going on, but we didn't divulge the depth of our relationship. And I think sometimes when kids are involved, we can definitely do too much too soon. We get the kids involved. We have them meet this person. You know, we're on cloud nine. We're in love. And then the relationship doesn't work out. And now not only are we going through a breakup, but our kids are also going through a breakup. I do think, though, that when you are being led by God, when you have been praying for that person, and when the time is right and God presents that person to you, I think sometimes it can move rather quickly because there's such a synergy. But even when it feels right and all the stars are in alignment and you know that the Lord is in it, you know, there's still that part of you that wants to move with caution. I think sometimes we fall so fast and so hard that we begin just having a level of intimacy with people, and I'm not even talking about physical intimacy, but exposing ourselves to people in such a way that, you know, it's just, I don't know if it's too much too soon or if it's just unhealthy or, and certainly the people who are not connected to God, they just move fast. You know, they just move fast. They get tied up physically. They get tied up emotionally. They move in together. They give so much of themselves that it becomes very difficult to break those ties if that relationship doesn't work out. So I think, yes, we can give too much too soon when we are not led by the Holy Spirit. And when we, especially when children are involved, I think we sometimes we move a little too fast by getting the children involved in the relationship.
Hey, we're joined by a good friend, one and only Darlene Brown as well. So, Darlene, we're going to bring you into the conversation as well. And we're just asking around, you know, Darlene is single, just so for the record to reflect. So Ed and Debbie are a couple. Darlene's single. I'm engaged. Actually, in fact, 30 days I'll be married. In 30 days. So with that being said.
Right. Congratulations. Are we excited about that?
Hey. So this time it's 30 days from right now, we be dancing and celebrating and shouting right now, okay? So 30 days from now,
going
to the
date. You're not going to be on the radio.
Nope, not at all, not at all. We be on the dance floor. We be on the dance floor showing Ed and Deb how we get down, a little stinky leg action and some more stuff. Nah, that's good. Hey, Darlene, but look, you know, this is the topic, and you know, we could be real serious with this, but I think that it's important that we really kind of kick it around, talk at it from some different angles. So I always love your insight that you bring to the show. It's a fresh perspective, and I just wanted to grace the listening audience with your response to this. So, you know, being in relationships, and Darlene as well, we've had the same experience. We've got T-shirts as well, been formally married. So, you know, when you get into a relationship, though, is there such a thing as giving too much too soon? You know, and if so, what are some of those flags? Ed and Debbie kind of alluded and talked, not just alluded, but talked about some of the red flags and things. But for you, let's talk about, is there such a thing, and what do those red flags look like?
So to answer your question, yes, there is such a thing as giving too much too soon. And I won't even say so much about red flags because you have had me on your show a number of times, and I always talk about the person being clear about their intentions and having clarity about themselves. Because from my own experience, so I'm going to make it personal, after my divorce, having wounds that I didn't even know were there prior to my marriage, so let me say that, things that came from my childhood, had developed something in me that wanted to be needed, was looking to be accepted, was looking to be loved. That was created due to abandonment and other things that I had experienced. So after my divorce, getting into a relationship, meet a guy, like the guy, immediately moving fast. And by that I mean, oh, I like him, and I want him to know how domesticated I am. So as opposed to maybe waiting for him to say, let me take you out to dinner, or maybe he took me out to dinner, then the next thing I'm like, oh, well, come over, let me cook dinner for you. Or finding myself as you're getting to know the person, him saying, yeah, well, you know, I want to do such and such, but I don't have this. Oh, well, I'll pay for it. And you find yourself making decisions where you are giving more of yourself. It could be financial. It could be a physical. It could be you doing things. You know, he has children and you want him to know how much you like him and you want to be with him. So you're like, oh, yeah, I'll babysit while you go out with your boys. Could be a number of things. Oh, here's a key to my house. And you don't even have clarity about his values, is he exclusive with you, or any of those things, and you will find yourself giving more because of a desire that's in you that you might not even be aware of, making decisions from that space. So I know for a fact that there are many women who do it for different reasons. There are women who might give more. They may say, you know what, I do believe in this whole 90-day rule or whatever, but I'm tired of being alone. And I, you know, want him to know that I'm okay with that. So they will give of their body too soon. You find women that have been in committed relationships, right? Their mate may have, they were in a monogamous committed relationship. They may have caught their mate being unfaithful. Now, I'll use that word unfaithful because, of course, you know, I believe you only cheat if you marry. But anyway, that's another show. They do not want to feel like they have invested so much to try to hold on to that man in that relationship, will continue to give of themselves even after he has shown them, not one time, not two times, not three times, repeatedly, they will still give. And I believe that when a woman truly loves herself, truly is aware of her self-value, her self-worth, that she will give, but she will give in a process. Because I don't believe that you should be selfish. I think giving is important, but I also think that with everything, it is a process. I also think that there are some things we can say must be earned, but I think when I use the word earn, it's about me, the person showing that we're on the same page, moving in the same directions, my value reflect your values, we want the same things, and we are fully committed. Because otherwise, I can see how women will give more of themselves too soon and will give consistently of themselves, money, time, their body, and not receive the level of respect and love that they themselves desire. It is they themselves that are preventing it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Do you think it's a peer pressure thing? Do you think that we give because of the desire where, you know, I know I've always heard this in every generation at this, when you see you go to college with a group of friends, they go off, get married, have children. So you find yourself in this quandary. Again, as you said, looking for affection, looking for acceptance, and looking for love. And so here you're, some of these things that you mentioned are root issues or root challenges that may come up from the past. So do you think there's some level of peer pressure, if you will, that's also added to
I won't necessarily say peer pressure, but I could say that sometimes it is a subliminal or subconscious things that are in our culture. So, for example, okay. I, you know, when I say in our culture, you know, my mom is from the South, and she believes that, you know, from a domesticated perspective, you cook for your man and you make his plate and so forth. And I agree with that. I don't see anything wrong with that. However, if that is rooted in your belief system and you meet a guy that you like, you may find yourself doing that too soon. Because it's rooted in a belief system. Not to say that you shouldn't do those things, but it's also about the process. And the other thing is you can sometimes hear conversations, well, girl, you need to do X, Y, and Z. You want to keep him. It's not about getting him. It's about keeping him. So you need to do X, Y, and Z. So you say peer pressure, but I say this false sense of reality, listening to external influences or even values that are instilled in you, which do have a good quality, but not having the discernment to know when it's okay. And that's why you really mm-hmm. have to come to a place where you are very clear about yourself. You know, why do you do what you do? What's driving it? We like to say that, you know, intention. So are you doing this because you just truly want to and there's no external expectation? Or are you doing this because you want him to like you? Are you doing this because you're afraid if you don't, he won't want you? Are you doing this because you want him to see that you're A, B, C, and D sooner than later? And so I think as women, particularly as a single woman, we have to look at, you know, what's driving that. because I think it's important to be authentic to who you are. I think that you have to do that first. You have to be honest with yourself first, and you have to do some soul searching first. And then when you get this clarity, then if you're like, well, hey, this is just who I am and this is why I want to do it, then okay, that's between you and God, right? But a lot of times women are not doing that soul search. They're not having that courageous conversation with themselves. They're not going and really asking themselves, what's driving my decisions when it comes to dealing with a man, when it comes to giving of my time, my body, my money, access to my home, my personal information. There's a thing that's called, you know, why play the role of the wife, but you're not the wife, right? I know I have done that. I have done that in my journey. Find myself going to his house, cleaning his house, washing his clothes, cooking his food, going to the grocery store. And when I say playing the role of the wife, yeah, you know, part of being a wife, because I was a wife, is some of the domesticated things. And maybe he was even doing certain things, but then it's like, okay, we're going to play husband and wife. We need to be husband and wife. But we haven't even been clear about
how does that,
that
look, though? How does that look? Because there's somebody out there saying, hey, well, you know, I just kind of, we do that. So are you saying we need to define the boundaries and set clear expectations? Are you saying that there are no boundaries in a lot of relationships?
You do. No, there needs to be boundaries and there needs to be clear expectations, because if you don't have that conversation, so when I did it, I didn't know. I was just moving on how I felt. And inside of myself, I was like, well, you know, that's my boo and we together, but I'm still single. Mm-hmm. We're not together now. So what happened? And then at the end of that relationship, I felt like, oh, well, I did A, B, and C. I did all of this, and for what? Where's the ring? Well, okay, you might feel that way, but who forced you to do that? What was it that made you to make the decision to do those things? Because he asked you? Where did that come from? That's what I mean about introspection and being clear and honest with yourself. I'm not judging anyone if they do it. I'm just saying look at why you're doing it, because oftentimes you will find a woman who has done that. Maybe she didn't want the ring, and maybe she's good with it. Okay, if it works for you, fine, but do you really know if that's working for you? Why is it working for you? Versus, and the reason why I say why, because some people do things from a place of fear. Some people do things from a place of being unaware of their own wounds and insecurities, right? There's a whole list of reasons why.
And convenience. I think convenience plays a part, too. That was a recent question, actually, Dee, that somebody had asked me. You know, recently it was a question that was asked to me, you know, why am I doing this? That was to themselves. Excuse me. It's a point of self-reflection and asking. I think it was a good question. Why am I doing it? I don't want to do something just out of convenience. And I think that's really important for you to stop and take an assessment, take inventory. But I don't see, I think what we're really saying tonight on the show, it's not about just taking inventory. It's about doing an audit on your life, an audit on your behaviors, audit on your routines, audit on your disciplines. And really, once you kind of have taken audit, now it's time to say, okay, cool. I know what it is. I know where it is, where my deficiencies lie in that area. And so do I need to bring in somebody else who has more of a specialty in that area that can help me out? Because if we continue to do the same thing, you get the same result. And so, you know, someone who says, well, I want to be married, but you treat every man that comes into your life as a husband, then you're giving away. Yes, you are wife quality per se. You know, and Ed would say this, and he'll be back in just a second, darling. He would say, you know, you don't become a wife. A man marries a wife, and the Bible says that he that finds a wife findeth a good thing. So and already your character should be groomed to that which is of a wife. But yet if you play the role of a girlfriend for far too long, and you know, or you played the role, sadly to say, you know, I don't even want to go there. I just want to clean that up. I think you can read my mind or kind of where I was going to go with that one, Dee, but I'm going to let that one go. But if you played that role
right.
far too long, you don't have to stay there.
You don't have to stay there. But then sometimes women feel like, well, I've invested all of this, and I want that role. So if I've invested all of this, why give up now? You know, that might be the thought process. So I'm going to continue to play this role. And my thing is that the reason why I'm keep going to go back to clarity about yourself, introspection, and, you know, being aware mm-hmm. of what your intention is, because, yeah, if you find that you're in something and you've been playing the role and you no longer want to play the role without officiating it, then you need to have a discussion with that individual. You need to have clarity on where is this going, and then if it's not going in the direction that you want, then you need to have the courage to say, this is where I get off. Because sometimes, because otherwise, I found people to say, well, you know, I've been in it this long, I'm just going to stay in it, and it only creates more bitterness.
You know, that's because one of the hardest things. You're so right. Because you're not, go ahead and finish your thought.
Yeah, because you're not, you're agreeing to participate in something that you really don't want to participate in because it is not where you want to be. So you're doing it for all the wrong reasons, which is, I've already invested all this time. Why give up now? I do love him. He is a good man. It's hard to find good men out here. I mean, he didn't say he didn't want to marry me. He just said he wasn't ready. There's mm-hmm. a whole lot of reasons that we can give ourselves to stay connected to something with the hopes that it will lead to where we want. And when it doesn't, we become bitter. When the truth is,
perfect word,
we made a
perfect
decision.
Segue. I'm done. Show in right there, because that's what I'm saying. Many people think they're bitter because of their brokenness. No, you're bitter because of your choices.
Exactly.
You're bitter more than likely because of your choices, and that's what Darlene just said, decisions. And that's one of those things where you make the decision to stay, you make the decision to go. But here's the thing. It's kind of like this. You know, if you want to cook a frog, you can put it in a pot and then slowly turn up the heat. So the thing is, it's not hot when you jump into the water. It's lukewarm. It's comfortable. So you stay there. And lo and behold, what's happening is the heat's been turned up. And that's not just for the women. We're not just talking about women here. We talk about the men, too. The heat's been turned up. And guess what? You're still there because it's convenient now and it's comfortable. And you've gotten a little bit lazy. You know, we say, you know, all the time in relationships, you date to marry and you marry to date. So the whole thing throughout any relationship, you should continue to date. But at the end of the day, what we're saying here now is you just kind of have to take an assessment and inventory. What am I giving away? Sometimes you can give away the whole shebang, and there's nothing left to the element of surprise. So you've given away everything now, and given away for ladies, you've given him husband, wife benefits to a man who's not going to be your husband. He knew coming in that he wasn't. When a man says, you know, nah, I need to slow walk this thing, you know, a lot of times, well, okay, cool, but what's your vision? What's your vision? What's your plan? You know what I'm saying? We talked about this yesterday at church. I visited VGC yesterday, Victory Grace, and Dr. Jazz was talking about something I had talked about last week, Darlene, in my class, because I'm doing a six-week series. And last week I talked about vision. It's important that, you know, to have a vision. Well, she comes right behind it and pretty much affirms that, talking about vision, mission, and then add on to that strategy. So I would say to somebody today, you're getting into a relationship or you're in one, what's the vision? What's the strategy? You know, at the end of the day, every company has one. So if you're going to connect with somebody, I always used to say this, Darlene, a woman doesn't mind following a man, but she doesn't want to follow a parked car. But here's the thing. If you allow him to stay parked, that ain't his fault, that's yours. You know, so you don't want to give away too much too soon to where you find yourself being resentful. But here's the key, as Edward said in the very beginning of the show, Darlene, that if God has said it, you stand on it. So if God is speaking to you, you stand on it, regardless of what it looks like. You know, you're going to go through something. I posted a picture of a bird, and I was curious because it was raining yesterday, the day before, and I was wondering, how do birds fly through rain as if nothing matters to them? The key is they're flying through it. They're not staying in it. So you're going through something right now. Stop looking at your situation, because your present isn't your future. And your past isn't your destiny. So you have to stop connecting like, yeah, I did this. Okay, cool. Now the whole purpose of this show is to ignite your passion, ignite your fire, to acknowledge and be aware of some of the behaviors and routines that you're doing. And as Darlene has said so eloquently, it comes from generational patterns and pathologies that may be something that you grew up, you witnessed, and you said, okay, well, you know, my dad had a lot of girlfriends. It was all good. And he always gave away everything. And as a kid, you saw that. And so I know my fiance was talking the other day. She attended a financial class at the church, Darlene, and Michelle Singletary asked the question, what's your financial backstory? And I was like, okay, that's kind of good. I got where she was going with that. Now, financial backstory just means, what's your history? Where do you come from? So mm-hmm. some people feel that there's a level of entitlement because of the history. And so some of you in relationships now, you get into a relationship, and if you're not careful, you're going to do the same thing your mama did, same thing that your daddy did, and not even realize it, because what happens is this. The conscious behavior follows the subconscious results. So you see things
right.
in the natural, okay? And what happens is unconsciously it plays out. And it's something
yeah.
that just, you can't control DNA. You know, DNA is there.
No.
What you can do
yeah.
is you have a choice now to reconcile to not your flesh, you reconcile to the spirit, because that's where you take in, not only inventory, but you do the audit through biblical principles that you let as you reexamine your life. The biblical principles are there to guide your life.
Yeah. Powerful
yeah, so.
Stuff. And what I like to say is courageous conversations that we really need to have. We really need to have them, because there are a lot of women that are in situations because of their decisions and not necessarily happy about it, but are choosing to stay. And, you know, I have, you know, women who I love who are friends, and I don't judge and I don't try to dictate how someone else should live. However, I do believe, even as a Christian, sometimes we'll be in situations, we will allow ourselves to participate in situations that God has repeatedly revealed to us that we should not be in. And instead of us trusting God, listening and hearkening to the voice of the Holy Spirit and making a decision that is for our good, we will stay connected. And then when we repeatedly go through that experience, we will say something like, well, I don't know what God is trying to show me, but it must be for something. And I sit back and say, well, God is waiting for you to make the decision. He's already shown you. But you are choosing to continue to participate in that, and then will justify it by saying, well, I don't know what God is trying to show you. And I'm saying, it's not like this person is your husband, because that's a different covenant. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And so
mm-hmm.
then I go back to and I say, okay, so what's really happening? You are afraid to make a decision that is in your best interest because you don't want to be alone, because you have invested X amount of years into someone who has already shown you that they do not value, honor, and respect you, and you're waiting for God to send you a message on why you're still in something. God has already shown you the message. You're the one not making the decision. And so
that's one of the ones I wish I had a mic drop.
I'm just saying, you know, and listen,
the value piece.
You know, and listen, been there. That's how I can speak about it, because I get it. I'm a single woman. I have dated. I know what it is. I desire to be in a union, right? However, I'm also clear that when a man approaches me and I give him the opportunity to get to know me, and he begins to show me his behavioral pattern, it's not about a judgment that I think I'm better. It's clearly evident that where you are and what you're desiring is not in alignment with where I am spiritually and what I'm desiring. So at that juncture, I have to have the courage and enough self-love and believing in what the Holy Spirit has said that he has for me to make a decision. And most women won't do that. They won't do it out of fear, because they don't really want to be alone. But here's what I'm telling you. When you get rooted in the Word of God and consumed with the Holy Spirit, you know why God says, I will never leave or forsake you. You are never alone. You have to trust his word and believe his word enough to make those decisions, to know that he has something greater and better for you. And if it is, in fact, that individual, have the courage to disconnect so God can deal with that person, because he's not going to bring someone in your life that is not going to honor you.
And that's
a lot of women will
like,
say,
you know,
oh, I'm going to be here and I'm going to help and I'm going to help clean him up. No, sometimes God wants you to trust him and honor, be obedient to his word and step away. And if that man is truly for you, God will clean him up.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And we're joined back with Ed and Deb. Jump right on in. You know, feel free to jump in because, you know, Darlene is dropping some nuggets here of a lot of good things that she has said, and I'm sure the listeners are hoping, soaking it all up.
Listen,
but Ed, I hear your voice.
Can you hear me?
Go ahead. We
can you
hear
me,
buddy.
Okay, listen, man.
Yeah.
Darlene, you've seen some stuff, brother and sister, and I trust and hope that people are leaning in and they're listening to what you're saying, especially the female, because a man, and I'm going to slow this down, a man will do what he thinks is desired so that he can impress you, but only a matter of time you will see the true color of a man. Ladies, do not allow your desperation or the shortage of a man to cause you to compromise your values and your principles. You can't change him. You can't make him into what you want him to be. What that man will be in life, he has already become. And you can't change that. So you ignored you because I've always stated that God blesses women with something called intuition. And if a woman is in tune with her intuition, within a month or two, she will know whether or not that relationship with that man is going to go somewhere or it's going to just become just another fling. But a lot of times, she will ignore that intuition and get involved in that relationship with that man and later on start saying stuff, I don't know why you don't love me. I don't know why you can't do this. I don't know why. And so you start. Guess what? God showed you all along that that was not the man for you, but you ignored God because, quote unquote, your biological clock is ticking. Or everybody has someone, and you have no one, and you want to be with someone. I've always stated, whenever you compromise your values and your principles to accommodate a relationship, you would have already started your divorce before getting married.
That's good, Ed. That's good. That's good. Hey, Darlene, you know, I want to say something, too, for the ladies to hear, and you can back me up on this. It's not just some of the things that Darlene mentioned to the women. It's not just women, and meaning that guys oftentimes want to say he may be in the same position and he doesn't want to be lonely. He's looking for attention. He's looking for desire. Really, a man will do anything for the most part for a release. If you look at now, let me change this. Let me say a godly man will do something different, but a man that's still practicing boyish ways will do anything for a release because that's his number one priority. His priority really isn't you because his attention is focused on the things that he can get from you. And so that means if he can leverage just one date out of you, then he's going to leverage that for his benefit. And so if you had said this, he can only do to you what you allow him to do. If you're going to allow him to get out of jail and go free, and have full domain and go from A to Z or from first to home plate in one night, then that's what you chose to do. So don't be frustrated with him because he will only take what you give him. So you can't give out something too soon. So when you have conversations, just try to slow your conversation down. We all get giddy. We all get excited, both men as well as women. We're excited because we finally found someone that we think that there may be some option. But here's the thing. Society and culture will label either the man that he's, you know, incompetent or incapable, or the woman she's, you know, deranged, crazy, or insane, whatever it may be, or he's always playing games. So find out for yourself when you get into someone. See where they are. Get to know who they are before you put the label on them. And if the shoe fits, then, I get it. You got to put it on them. When he shows you the color of the skin, as Darlene said, then trust and believe that's who he is. Now, if there's in godly relationships, the ultimate goal is marriage. I'll be honest with you, you know, I haven't always gotten it right. I've made mistakes along the time, but here's where I am now versus where I was then. And I'm at a different place now, and Deb can attest to this. They know my journey through my story. Going through this journey, it is a process in order to get here, but it started with a plan. It started with a vision, then a plan. So there was a strategy behind it all along. What am I saying? I want to go back to that, ladies. It's time now. We got too much at stake. It's time to stop jumping into things without a plan or a vision. Now, I'm not asking you to say to the guy, he's got to have a plan for every single thing. But at least if he's driving a car, he's got to have a GPS. And that GPS is Jesus Christ. You see what I'm saying?
Come on,
he
brother.
Has to know how to tune into that thing and follow when the GPS says, hey, turn here. He has to know, okay, cool, we got to make a detour because the GPS just told me to turn here. But if he don't have a relationship with GPS, then the question is, you don't want to be the UPS, you know what I mean? Because he will use you and wear on you all throughout. You would just be that package waiting on change. And guess what? There ain't nobody coming to pick you up. So don't be the package. Don't be the penny waiting on change. Because you again, like Darlene was saying, you got to know your value. I always say when you know your value, the right man will come along and prove his worth. But don't give away everything because here's the thing. The ring is the last thing that you give. You see what I'm saying?
Come on.
But don't give him everything before he gives you the ring. Because then after, if you do that, as Darlene said, if you're cooking, you're cleaning, you're doing all those things. I got a buddy now that I know for years we've been homies, but we don't have the same walk. We don't have the same talk. I listen to his stories, love him to death. But that's where he is, and I'm in a different place. But he's one of those guys. If you allow him to go there, then guess what? You'll just be another feather in his cap. Y'all got real quiet on me. Okay, so in any event, y'all got real solid. So, look, this is a topic like, you know, giving up. What can you give up? You know, again, you may be able to – you give up too much of your time. I know we had Toy on the show 2 weeks ago when she was talking about she's new in a new dating relationship, and she really truly doesn't have a lot of time, but people prioritize the things that are important to them. You know, value is what's important to you. And I did a class this past week where we talked about values, beliefs, and behaviors, or values, beliefs, and attitudes, whatever you would like to refer to them as. 80% of what you do is based on your values and beliefs. And sometimes your belief is in the wrong place. So you believe because this is what mama did or what daddy did, I don't want to be this way. You subconsciously, you end up being that way. You end up doing the repeating kind of some of those same patterns. I'm pretty sure that I've done some of the same things my mom's done. You know, there's no question about it because I follow, you know, some of the same routines. And unconsciously, I probably didn't even know. But you become somewhat of a product of the environment because you witness it and you're exposed to it. You know what I mean? But it doesn't mean you have to choose to do it. You have to make the conscious choice that you're going to do something different. So when you get into the next relationship or the present relationship, you know, just have conversations. Just try to make sure you have fun, create fun, loving, and fond memories. That's what you want to create, you know, and everything doesn't have to be so serious all the time. It doesn't have to be, ladies. One of the things I said, I put a picture out probably about a year ago, and it was a picture of a lady kicking a man down. It's one thing to be intentional, but sometimes that you can be unintentional and be too intentional. You see what I'm saying? Meaning that your questions you got to ask, it's almost like you're in an interrogation. Take your time. Everything doesn't have to be Rome wasn't built overnight, and you don't have to figure it out, you know, in one setting. So just pace yourself, you know, the process. If a guy is into you, you know, then he will make this. He will prove that he's willing to go, you know, to be with you. But don't put out a red carpet when he ain't worthy of a red carpet, and furthermore, he ain't worthy of an access pass. Don't give him one.
Chris, you and I know that whenever we as men, whenever we are into a woman, whenever we found the one, let me put it another way, woman, whenever you are the one, you won't have to ask us to do a thing because we do everything that is required of us. From a biblical standpoint, to keep you for a lifetime. If you find yourself struggling to get your boyfriend, significant other, your boo thing, or whatever you may want to call him, if you're struggling with having that man, you know, why can't you do this? Why can't you take me out for dinner? Why can't you? And you keep asking a lot of why, and you got to force him to do things that you desire of him to do. Oftentimes, it is because you are not the one. Whenever you are the one, that man will do everything that is required of him without you asking him to do a thing.
There you go. You got that right.
That's strong right there.
Yeah, that's strong.
That's true. That's a true statement, though. I would agree. That's a true statement. And I can only tell you from my own testimony, you know, when having gone through the experience and to be where I am right now, there's nothing but the grace of God. And I can look back and just say, wow, the journey has been real. Over this journey, I'm going to be real clear with you. It's going to be work. So I'm just telling
mm-hmm.
you guys, if
mm-hmm.
you want something, you got to be willing. And the work is not leading up to the I do. The work is even more begins after I do. But here's the key, and I'm gonna beat this down. If you don't have a vision, don't bring her. Don't put her in. I'm gonna say this to the fellas: if you don't have a vision, don't put her in the game. Because a man without a vision, a man without a vision is a man who's lost and in a wanderous generation. And ultimately, it's like a man, because God gives you vision. God will give you something. And so what he'll ultimately do is not only give you vision, he'll give you provisions for it. But you got to spell it out. I talk to brothers all the time, and I was talking to one, you know, recently, love him dearly. But the vision is one thing, but the strategy is another. So you not only you have to share that vision with her, break it down to incorporate her in it. One of the things that I had told my fiance is that I see us in ministry. You know, and she didn't see it, but that God would ultimately, you know, share that with her more and more. Guess what? I got an invitation, you know, to do something. I accepted the invitation for 6 weeks to share in ministry. And who is helping me? She is. I'm like giddy right now because that is so important to our assignment as a couple. Marriage, okay, so we all know that marriage is not just to be excited about, oh, I'm married. No, marriage is ministry. When you go
mm-hmm.
back to biblically and you look at that, God said, be fruitful and multiply. That is the part of the command that he had given them, to be fruitful. And that is not just in having children. That is in all areas. And then it breaks it down. And so we talk about Ephesians 5 and 25.
Mm-hmm.
So there it is mm-hmm. that, you know, love her like Christ loved the church. So he uses
mm-hmm.
the example, and that is, if I'm in this, like, Christ loved the church, well, Christ ministered. That's what he did while he was here, you know, in that time. So your ministry is with your spouse should be to glorify God in everything that you all do for the kingdom. So if it's not,
mm-hmm.
I would say, hey, it ain't too late to go back and say, God, I need a new download. I need to upload of information that you haven't shared to me. Give me some wisdom. Give me wisdom to see this thing the way that I haven't seen it. Give me discernment to hear your voice and know the difference to the things that I can and cannot control. You know? And then put a passion and a fervor in my heart and an utterance to just pursue you with power and conviction so that I know that as a man that I'm leading in the right direction. Like Ed said, certain things you ain't got to tell me to do. I'm just going to do. You know,
mm-hmm.
and that shows so here's the thing. The first class that I did, I'm going to give you all a little segment of this, was the demonstration was love, was what is love, and that was the first question. And the second part of the class I taught was the demonstration of love. Okay, so here's the thing. My question was really this, and this is staying on subject. Watch where I'm going. My subject of tonight was, can you give too much too soon? So put that in perspective as this. You think about what love is. Love is sacrificial. Love is selflessness. Love keeps no record of wrong. And God is love. So can we get, if we are the model of Christ in everything that we do, are we really giving too much too soon? Now, here's the thing. Yes, the answer to that is sure, it can be, if you're giving it to the wrong person. So Darlene mentioned earlier about connection. If you get a connection, it'll take you to the next level. But if you get an attachment,
mm-hmm.
it'll suck you dry. So you got to
mm-hmm.
make sure who you can, divine connection that's from God.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's important as you look at the love piece here, you know, in this, if you truly love somebody,
mm-hmm.
truly love somebody,
mm-hmm.
it's the demonstration. God so loved the world that he gave. The first part of love was
mm-hmm.
he gave. Love
mm-hmm.
is to give. Sometimes y'all giving too much away, and that person don't even, that it's not that that person doesn't love you, is that you don't love you. because you're giving it to the wrong person who's unworthy of your love. They demonstrate it time and time again, but now this person is not your spouse. So I'm being clear
right.
there that if you're giving to not just an unbeliever, but a person that's not your spouse, well, you got to check that and go back to look at the things, as Darlene said, and self-reflection. You know,
mm-hmm.
and that's really
you have
important.
To make sure, Chris. We just got to make sure that you know, in and we're still on the topic of giving too much too soon. But when we got to make sure that we are connected to before we're connected with. You catch that? We have to make sure that we're connected to before we're connected with, because it's in the connecting to that is going to direct us to the with. You know, when Eve was introduced to Adam, he met her for the first time, and he gave everything that he had the moment he met her. And the reason for that is because Adam was connected to before he got connected with. And you know, we could talk all day long about this relationship business, and we, you know, we think that we are the guru in relationships and all that stuff. But the two is the blueprint for relationship. You and I do not understand what relationship looks like until we are connected to the blueprint. And it's in connecting with the to the blueprint that is going to direct us into the width that we should connect it with. You follow what I'm saying? And so once we do that, there can be, you know, we can't talk about giving too much too soon, because it is the two, which is God, that is directing us with to the width, which is our spouse.
There it is. Hey, that's well said, guys. That's well put. Darlene, you got anything for the good of the group as we prepare to kind of bring our plane and into the runway here?
Yeah, I would say everything is a process, so take your time.
Mm-hmm.
You don't
mm-hmm.
have to be in a rush.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a firm believer that if you really trust in the word of God and you believe, that you know everything moves in divine timing. So don't be in a rush. Go through the process.
Mm-hmm.
Allow yourself to go through a
mm-hmm.
process.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Ed, how about you? Anything for the good of the group?
Listen, at the end of the day, don't ever think that time is running out on you. God has a plan for you. God has a purpose for you, and your job is to make sure that your purpose for yourself is in alignment with God's purpose, and do not run before the time. You know, my mom used to tell me when I was a kid, and I never understand the analogy, she always said to me, do not chase down a train. Stand at the train station and wait for the train. And I never understood that, man, and until I got older. You know, there you still have time, because your time is not. If your time is not God's time, then you know you're chasing down. You're running down the train. You need to stand in the train station and wait until that train is docked, brother.
I agree wholeheartedly with what you guys have said, and I'm going to put it to you this way, and what Darlene said, and I'm going to come back on that and just kind of just add something. Just my own little analogy, as she said, respect the process. Nobody wants a cake that's not done.
Mm.
So if you look at, you know, and what Ed said is that there's a time to it. So process and time, and God is in control of time, but God is not in time. Okay, so his time is not our time. So
right.
What we have to realize is that when we get on our prayer closet or our war room, you know, and say, God, you know, hear my humble cry. I need to hear your voice. I need to know, you know, is this the right relationship? Because some things can be right but for you, but wrong for your spirit. You see what I'm saying? And that's devastating, because everything we deal with now is about spirit and protecting your spirit. So you just got to be careful. You know what I'm saying? There's a lot of things that are going on. Sadly, you know, in the county, we've got we have a higher number in Prince George's County and across the country, for that matter, of domestic issues that still break out. So, you know, the worst thing to do is be with someone out of, you know, comfort and convenience, and be with someone who's not good for your spirit. So a question I would ask you and leave you with is the person that you're with feeding your flesh, or are they feeding your spirit? You determine. And if your answer is yes to the first one, like Darlene said, you need to be like Twinkle Bell and start flying away, pick up your shoes, and empower yourself with the word of God that will give you courage, knowledge, strength, and help you, and get with a support group. It's really important at this point, because here's the thing. So the frog can't get out the pot on its own. And I used an analogy earlier. The frog's already in the pot, and it's real comfortable. And sometimes you are in a comfortable situation because it's working financially for you, but it is a wrong thing for you that will break your spirit down at the end result. So you can be linked up with somebody that's a, you know, an attachment, but yet it's not meant for you to have in your life as a divine connection. And that's a huge mistake.
Absolutely.
And so I would just utter that to you tonight, just to leave that with you to ponder on, as a message of that it's not over until God says it's over, number one. And number two is that you can have more when you choose right. And that's the only way you can do that, is to be in with a right connection with the right God at the right time that he says now is the time for this person to come into your life. Because, look, here's the thing. I wear a size 12 shoe, right? So growing up as a kid, we always wanted to have, you know, bigger shoes. We thought that meant something. Oh, yeah, I'm wearing this now. Nah, right now what I realize is that, you know, when I got to a certain age, that the shoe as a young man, you get to a certain age, you start wearing adult shoes, there's a higher cost to that. All I'm trying to tell you is if you rush the process, there is a higher cost that you will have to pay for the process. And dealing with an undone cape, or dealing with a Negro who don't appreciate you, who doesn't value you, who wants to hit you upside your head, or who wants to curse you out, or who doesn't respect you enough, in a sense, or vice versa, because this can work both ways, they don't respect you enough to counsel you in private and praise you in public. That's a key one right there. If they don't know how to do that, that means they'll embarrass you under any cost. You got to check yourself. Well, not only check yourself, you got to check them and say, you know what, I really like you, but I love me. And so I can agree to disagree with you at this point, but we come to a crossroads. And let me show you how this is how you can end a relationship, not a marriage, a relationship that's going nowhere. You know, I really told you from the very beginning I was looking for a relationship that had passion and promise. And I think now, more than ever before, we can probably say it's safe to say that we're going in two different directions. It's safe to say. I think that we're going in two different directions. And rather than for us to end on a sour note, I would rather us end on an amicable foot, for us to at least have a friendly relationship towards one another. So at this point, it's time that we should part ways. And that's it, you know. And then you come up with your strategy in terms of how you're going to do that. So, well, guys, it's been a treat and a pleasure tonight to share with you some insight on the subject of, you know, again, I pray that something that was said tonight from Darlene and Deb, myself, that was speaking to your spirit, I pray that God would meet you where you are, and knowing that he is already there, he's just waiting for you to acknowledge and wake up. And so don't feed your spirit. Don't feed your flesh. Feed your spirit.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen. Great call.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Peace and blessings, everyone.
Absolutely. Hey, where's my organ? I want to do the organ. I haven't done the little organ in a while, darling. Hold on. We got to do this one.
Yes, sir. Yes,
yeah,
sir.
Yeah. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Yes,
yes, sir.
That's right. Good stuff.
All right, guys. Good show. I appreciate
it.
9:59. Look at
Amen.
That. Perfect timing. Y'all enjoy, darling, get some rest, because you got to get up early in the morning.
Early, yes. Okay, good night, everyone.
Good night, guys.
Good night, guys.
Bye-bye.
Bye now.